This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now time for The Property Show with me, Keith Kam. Malaysia's construction industry and practices have come a long way to be where it is today, where the time taken to complete a building or a house gets shorter and shorter. This comes as the industry begins to adopt newer techniques, which also helps in reducing defects besides cutting construction costs. The IBS, or Industrialized Building System, is one such building technique, and here is where we talk to Dato' Ubul Din Om, the Managing Director at Gamuda Engineering, one of the country's first companies to use this prefabricated system. Dato' Ubul, first of all, talk to us about Industrialized Building System. What does this all mean?
Okay, commonly IBS, commonly understand or no, widely used by industry is that it's a construction technique whereby the construction components are manufactured in a controlled manner, then you bring to the site and assemble. That means there are two parts of this IBS. One is manufacturing, one is installation.
Right.
So there's two parts, right? So normally the compliance of the IBS system in Malaysia is measured in the installation side, not in the production side.
All right.
So how much you use in the construction or at the site, that's how they score the IBS.
The differences between traditionally constructed buildings in terms of IBS, what sort of processes need to be considered?
Okay, let's look at the installation side first, right?
Right.
In the installation side, if conventional, there were a lot of, we call it cast in situ, that means you build at the site itself. You bring a raw material, for example, you bring steel bar, you fabricate there, then you put a formwork, a mold, or it's called so-called formwork, then you pour concrete, you know. So there are many processes happen at the site itself. That's conventional construction, right? There are some instances where they also have some mixture. The column, they do a cast into at the site, but there are other panels they bring in as a precast unit. So this is conventional. IBS mean you bring everything to the site and you fix a Lego like that.
Okay.
It's a Lego system, you know. That means at the site, there are minimum use of laborer or all those things. So if I can put in the other way is that that's why the scoring of IBS at the site is depend how much you use the precast or manufactured product to use there. So some they use minimum,
mm-hmm.
Some they use a lot, right? So that's why the scoring by the industry is that how much you use of precast or manufactured item there, then the score come in, whether 70%, 80%, you know. Yeah, so this is how they measure the scoring. Like in Singapore, it become a compulsory that non-landed residential, that means high-rise, they want it to be 82% achievement of IBS compliant. That means 82% is IBS, you know, that means you are precast and bring it to the site, not doing that side there. But Singapore, they are governed by some restriction of, you know, like strong room or you call it panic room, all those, which is very heavy in terms of design, so they have no choice, they have to do it at the site. So the rest, they bring outside.
You say it's sort of like Lego, which means it's prefabricated.
Yeah.
So some of the challenges I would imagine would be some projects, some design, some construction, they need to be of a certain uniformity. Does that restrict the kind of designs that can come out of using IBS?
Yes, but you see like what we're doing in Gamuda is a new technology. You know?
Right.
It's been widely used in German, right? This is a different sort of IBS system. This I'm talking about manufacturing first. That means the panel that you manufacture before you bring to there as a Lego. So in the factory itself, it's a robotic automated, mm-hmm. And the shape you can customize. Because it's robotic, you know, they use laser, they customize the drawing, you know. So it's just very true. The design is one of the most important element that you have to be good to get the IBS compliance as much possible. That mean IBS design friendly, so the designer must know exactly what to design and how to use it in the construction. So, for example, like the design for maximum usage of IBS, right, it should be a load bearing wall.
Right.
That means that you don't use column. You know, everything is used by the wall. So right. The design is very important. Structural design is very important. At the moment. Like what we're doing at our project now for 20-story in the Jet Hill is a load-bearing wall. There's no column. Everything is from the wall. That means already designed for it, catered for it. and we can use we can maximize the usage of the IBS system because the design cater for it, and we are doing it at 87% for our own project now.
How long has this IBS or prefabrication been in the industry?
Prefab has started many years ago, no? I think more than maybe 30 years, but minimum usage, certain element of it only they use IBS. Sometimes they customize for certain project. They just do for maybe the slab only or just the wall. Not fully, compliance. I mean, the degree of usage is very low. Not all, right? They still use brick. They use still cast into column, right? So they use in certain area, the panel, wall panel. But when we're talking about Gamuda IBS now, it's highly compliant. That means, like I said, will be over 85%. That means very minimum usage of cast in situ in the construction site. Yeah.
In the history of Gamuda using IBS, what benefits have you seen?
Okay, IBS, if I can look at it, there are three benefit major one. First thing is, let's look at the productivity, right? IBS will increase productivity. Productivity means, because with the IBS system, with the fully compliance of more than 85%, right, the reduction of using manual labor is up to 60%. Right. I mean, out of 100 people, we only use 40. This is a major reduction. So the lower the usage of workers, the higher the productivity will be. This is one of the benefits that we have. And we feel that in construction, we are still very much dependent on foreign labor, right?
Yes.
And the supply is also inconsistent. Inconsistent in the sense that you can see now, like, the supply from Indonesia is also cut down quite a lot. Now we are using Nepalese, sometimes, but it's not very skilled like what we have on those days. And when we bring in, we have to train. A lot of training has been done.
Right.
And from the contractor point of view, like Gamuda, I can tell you that we are very worried about the supply of the labor and shortage. And when you train also, it doesn't mean that you will stay with you long. So maybe 3-4 months, the flow will go back again. And sometimes you can see we are barely hit by the weakening of ringgit.
Right.
Some of the workers said, okay, with this weakening, I cannot survive with this salary. So some went back and didn't come back. And we are very lucky, like in the our underground project MRT, right? We have our own training academy, tunnel training academy. We train our local. Otherwise, we were in a bit of trouble, to substitute with this shortage.
True.
So we use a lot of local. That's what we are doing. So way forward, if you IBS, the reduction of this worker will, of course, benefit a lot of people, right? And the secondly is that with IBS system, in terms of productivity, it cuts short the construction period, right? For high-rise, for example, from 30 months to 24 months, 12 months, cut short. When you cut short of what call a construction period, there are two things come in. You also minimize the risk, Because the longer you take to construct, the higher the risk will be. Material price will go up, The steel bar, all is always up and down, Oil price, all this. So shorter is better for us.
Right.
And like I said, that shorter construction period with less usage of labor, you of course increase productivity. That's one of it. Secondly, I would say is that when you use less labor, right, you also control on term of safety on site. That means the fatality rate will be reduced. Right? It's always the government intention that we are very serious on reducing site accident.
Mm-hmm.
So as a contractor, the more you use the worker, the chances the accident will be higher. So the less you use, the better for us. So this is what we are hoping to achieve from this IBS system, right? And I think the government through CIDB and DOS, they are so pledged that they want to reduce the fatality rate in Malaysia to half. No?
Right.
So with this initiative, I think that's one of the benefits they have. And the other thing is that when you use a lot of foreign labor, another issue is the accommodation and social impact to the local. These are all indirect, impact, So these are the real benefit. Thirdly, I can say is the environmental sustainability. Right? With the IBS system, we have a very good control manufacturer like automated and robotic like we have. We are controlling very well in terms of material usage, less waste, Everything is very precise because it's robotic and it's programmable system, you know, that means in terms of using of cement, concrete, there's no wastage. Mm-hmm. Rebar also no wastage. Then the other way, the other one is that we recycle uses of water. Now this is very good for environmental. And at the site for itself, like I said, the installation, the IBS system, the usage of labor is very less. We cut away formwork, a lot of formwork at the site. We cut away a lot of this staging, all those. These are all construction debris because like formwork, you can only reuse for 3-4 times, then you have to throw away.
Right.
So these are also another waste management thing coming in. So all these are, I think, related, you know, in the benefit of IBS.
So you talk about the benefits in terms of how environment friendly it is, time saving, as well as consistencies in construction. But can you take us through some of the kinds of quality control processes that will be in place to ensure nothing untoward happens? Because, I mean, with the fact that it's going to be, if construction time is going to be cut short, people would need some reassurance that, you know, they would be getting the same quality.
Oh, okay, I forgot to mention, quality is excellent. You can see at the side there, in the factory there. Everything is, I said, it's just robotic. No, that means the finishes is constant. Even the curing is using a proper curing chamber. No? So everything is under control. That means controlling of quality is excellent. Robotic means it's very precise. You can understand that with robotic means everything is precise. No? And the installation is just a stitching only, right? So the panel is putting in a very nice manner. And you know, instead of using the plastering for the wall, right, you just need to skim coat me, and it's perfect finishes. And like in Thailand, all those that they already done successfully, right? You not even need to use the paint, you can use wallpaper because the surface is very even and the slab. So quality control, I can assure you that it's much more better than the conventional. So we have done a few floor now, and we can see that. And there are many visitors to the project site, so they also agree with us that this is a very good quality.
We are speaking with Dato' Ubul Din Om, Managing Director at Gamuda Engineering, about the industrialised building system on the property show this morning. In a few moments, we will pick his brains over what he thinks about the government's plans to compel more construction companies to adopt IBS. BFM 89.9. We're back on the property show on BFM 89.9. We are with Dato' Ubul Din Om, Managing Director at Gamuda Engineering, this morning. Let's find out what he thinks about the Malaysian government's plans to compel more construction companies to adopt the industrialised building system in their projects. Recently, Works Minister Dato' Sri Fadilah Yusof, he stressed that the government is serious in implementing IBS. He wants to make it compulsory for the industry next year.
Dalam projek kerajaan, kita dah tetapkan bahawa semua projek yang melebihi 10 juta mesti dilaksanakan secara IBS. Dan di sini apa yang kita lakukan ialah untuk kita latihkan keseluruhan sektor pembinaan supaya mereka bersiap siaga. Sebab 2018 kita mengharapkan IBS akan diwajibkan.
What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's timely and it's right thing to do, and we are fully support. And even that we have been working with the CIDB even in early stage to promote this initiative by the government. I think there are this initiative by the government called Construction Industry Transformation Program, whereby they want to, you know, to move towards IBS compliant. Like I said, it's the same benefit that everyone is looking at: environmental sustainability, productivity, safety, and quality. So I think what the Minister of Work is doing is will also help to push, you know, towards IBS compliance more faster than earlier on. Because now everybody now is start to open their eyes on IBS, and there are many forums, many conference seminars talking about IBS. And we are happy in Gamuda to see that this is happening now, so that we can move together.
When you talk about IBS compliance in this case, because earlier you mentioned it's up to a certain percentage, what is the ministry targeting?
Ministry is targeting more than 70%. Even though in early stage, they also targeted that all the government projects should be more than 70% IBS compliance. I think government projects, they're doing fine, maybe 69% as mentioned. But the private sector is still not complying that much. They're saying about 15%, you know. So that's why now they're pushing even to the private sector. Just like Singapore, right? They have become mandatory, you know, if not landed residential, you might be compliant 82%.
Right.
But there's incentive from government for compliance, similarly to Malaysia.
What are some of the skills necessary for the construction industry to be able to adopt this sort of compliance?
I think, you see, like fully compliant like us, it's not that straightforward thing, right? Because when you say manufacturing using robotic, so in other terms, that there are two parts of it. You call it CAD and CAM. Computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing, all right? These are the two platforms, digital platforms being used for high production like IBS factory like Gambuda, right? So, but the investment is very high. Maybe not able to comply by small player, right? But what we can do is a big player will maybe cast the whole thing and it become a supplier to those smaller player to use it in the system. So that's one way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gambuda is one of the pioneers in IBS. What are some of the challenges that the company has gone through?
Yeah.
To get to this point.
When we say pioneer, we're talking about this robotic system.
Right.
So what I can say is that the challenges is very new to us. And we are bringing the technology from German in Italy then to make it suitable to use for our local requirement in terms of material, for example, you know. So it's a lot of challenges. You have to do a lot of try and error, you know, a lot of training to the staff, all those. You see that this IBS system is very software-driven. It's all using computer one, as I said, CAD, CAM. It's software-driven. And it's a digital platform. The other one is BIM must be in. The building information modeling must be the one that drives the system. Mm-hmm. So everything is through BIM. You see from the conventional 2D design, that means 2D design, then we convert to 3D modeling, right? To get inventory orders. Then from the 3D modeling, we have to send it to robot. Robot, we use another program called All Planner to read and convert this drawing to construction element. Then the robot will all start to build the element. Then we also have this common data environment to integrate the whole system in terms of tracking, in terms of inventory, financial. It's all computerized. So these are the challenges that we have. Even BIM in Malaysia, we have started quite late, and it's not easy path to achieve. See the 5D modeling, not the 5D, the commercial, the programming, right. All those. So these are the challenges, and as I said, that we need to do a lot of training, we need to do a lot of special to people to achieve what we need to do. And we are lucky that with the hard work that we have managed to start to produce and already install on site. And we are very confident now. So I think the management has looked into second factory.
Nice.
So I think we can see that there's a future for the IBS system.
What is the talent pool like in Malaysia?
I would say that it's still shortage, especially like BIM modeling, all those. We are still do a lot of training. And like Gambuda itself, we also set up a BIM academy to cater for our own use also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we intend to train 1,000, you know, because we also have that MRT project and, you know, then the other rail project coming in. So, and of course, this IBS and our building construction, our property. So BIM is another challenges that we have, and this training need time and need a lot of investment.
So the government's 2018 target for IBS compliance, is that realistic?
I think realistic. I think many players already start to go towards that direction, right? So maybe not for the whole private sector, but government, I think maybe realistic. Yeah.
Now let's talk about property prices. When one would think that if you were to employ the use of IBS, property prices may be lower, but some say there will be hardly any difference. What are your thoughts on this?
At the moment, you ask me from our system, I will say no yet, because it just started, right? Because the initial investment is very heavy. The investment on the factory itself, like I said, for two factories, over 500 million, right? Then a lot of training. It's not only factory, the training for the BIM usage process, no? These are all the training that we need to invest in, you know. So, but indirect saving will be a lot. Indirect saving will be a lot. So, like, as a property developer, construction is only one part of it. Only there are other element like landscape, utilities, and land cost. This can group together, and also cash flow.
Correct.
So cash flow is also one of the main developer concern as well. So if we can cut short construction period, though, they can save on the cash flow as well. And as a buyer, for example, you're the first time buyer, right? You're renting a house, right? Instead of 36 months, you're renting only for 24 months because this is early delivery month, so you can save on renting. Right. And as an investor, if I buy a property, I can start renting faster, right? Instead of waiting for 36 months, right? By 24 months, I restart renting. So these are all indirect saving. And for government, like I say, this like social impact on worker safety, fatality, this all in will have to be count in. That's why we need the government support to move the IBS.
Because the argument here is that for most construction players, the cost of building any building only makes up 40% of the property's price. It's the land valuation that is supposed to be more significant. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yes, that's why I said it's not the land value. Mm. To be sellable, sometimes you need to be innovative. You know, you are putting a lot of things on landscaping, you know, facilities, clubhouse. These are also part of it. So developer will not only count on the construction itself to fix the price. So there are many factors in.
Now, Gamuda has been in employing IBS for quite some time now, and one of the concerns the government has about implementing IBS is the question of supply and demand. For those who know how to implement IBS, this is actually in quite short supply. What do you think needs to be done some more?
That's why I said the one thing is exposure. The other one is, you know, it should be led by big player, right? Because it's a very heavy investment. Some smaller player may not be able to invest to do it, right? So the big player, they can become a supplier, you know? That means we manufacture and we sell you the offshore, like you buy bricks, all those things, you know, you can buy, you know? So this is what we can do, you know? And of course, I think there's some support from government also, like, because how to help those players, you know, to be a bit more competitive, because initial investment is very high.
And your final thought, Malaysia's construction industry is ready for something like this?
Yes, yes. I think we have started quite a lot. You see, like Forest City now, they are bringing, you know, they want to put 6 lines of IBS system, you know. So with Gamuda come in, hopefully that others will follow the same. I would say that maybe in Klang Valley, we need another 5 or 6 factories. 2 factories may not enough. So there's plenty of room to come in. Yeah. So we always now share our knowledge to everyone so that to cut short their learning also, their concern, so that everybody can move together with us, you know.
We have been chatting with Dato' Ubul Din Om, Managing Director at Gamuda Engineering. Now, before we wrap up, here is a quick property tip. If you are a first-time home buyer and you are young, you have the advantage of stretching your home loan to a maximum of 35 years. This means lower monthly repayment, making your dream more affordable. Also, look for flexible mortgage schemes that might save you even more. But of course, this will also depend on your ability to repay it. Check with your financiers for the latest details. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, download the BFM app on both Google Play and the App Store. That's all for this week's The Property Show. Join us again next week, Friday, after the 9:30 a.m. news for more. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.